All right, thank you, Matthew. Appreciate that. Go ahead and take your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 4 tonight. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at an important thought this evening. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Next week, we'll be turning our attention more to a Christmas theme. And I look forward to talking with you about that. But for the time being, we're going to start off in Ephesians chapter 4. And in just a moment, we're going to be looking at verse 20. But before we get to that, I was reading a story earlier today about a man named Bill Powell. And in 2004, Bill Powell was found beside a dumpster in a Burger King parking lot. He had no idea how he got there, and he had no idea who he was. Sounds like a nightmare, all right? And in fact, it was. He needed to be hospitalized, and it was determined that he had amnesia. Now, understand that Hollywood does not educate us well on amnesia. Okay, what is the typical thing that happens in a movie when a person has amnesia? They get hit on the head, they wake up, or they come to, they don't know anybody, or they can't remember, that big lapse of time. But then later on in the movie, they get hit on the head again, and they remember it all. Okay, that's not really how amnesia works. Okay, and in fact, the sad thing is he never regained that memory. At least up to this point, has not. But in 2004, the nurse that helped him when he visited the hospital decided to try to find out who this person was. He didn't have any ID on him whatsoever. And so they contacted the local newspaper. He was even on a couple of TV shows. Hey, does anybody know who this man is? And then after 11 years, can you imagine? 11 years, he's chosen a name for himself by this point. He has a house. He's got a new job, however you want to say it. He's living his life. And someone, through the grapevine of information as it went out, recognized his picture. And somebody said, hey, I know who this guy is. This guy's name, that's Bill Powell. And apparently, Bill Powell grew up in Indiana. And the person that recognized his picture basically filled in all the gaps. Now, they hadn't seen him for 20 years. So there was still a huge block of time that was not accounted for. He was able to reunite with the people that knew him and relatives. And, of course, they were glad to see him. Nothing jogged his memory, though. He still didn't get that memory back. And, he reunited with them, but it didn't mean a whole lot. Okay, all that to say, it would be a nightmare situation. But the person that identified him basically said, hey, let me tell you about who you are. Okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is basically telling the people there that lived in Corinth, he's basically telling them, hey, let me tell you who you are. Now, a verse that maybe each of us could quote, or at least would be familiar with, is that of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it because we're going to be in Ephesians 4. But it says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? Become new. Okay, and what I want us to do tonight is sort of examine this idea of who we are and allow Paul, as he goes through the New Testament, to fill in the blanks, at least of our understanding, about who we are in Christ. The Bible says that we are literally in Christ. Well, what does that mean? Okay, what does that mean, that terminology there? Well, we're going to look at it. But you're in Ephesians chapter 4. I want you to notice verse 20. So why is it that we need to know? Okay, why is it that when we read a verse like that and it says that we are in Christ Jesus, why is it that we have a need to know who we are? Well, Paul says it this way. Look at verse 20. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth of Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So, you know, why Paul is it that people, us Christians, need to be reminded, or why do we need to know who we are in Christ? Well, he says because we've not learned it. And at least the people there at Ephesus had not learned this concept. And so he draws some conclusions for them. I want you to notice, though, that sometimes we need to learn it because we haven't learned it, but sometimes we've also forgotten, maybe. 2 Peter chapter 1, go there with me. 2 Peter chapter 1, hopefully you brought your Bible, hopefully you're using it. I want you to look at the words, eternal words of life tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9. Talking about the things of Christ in verse 9, Peter says this, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Why? And hath forgotten that he was purged from his own sins." So why is it that we need to be reunited, in a sense, with who we are in Christ? Well, because sometimes it's because we've not learned it for ourselves. But it also can be because we've just completely forgotten. You know as well as I do that there are times that we can, in human terms, get so far away from God that we literally forget some of the basic truths in regards to our relationship with Him. So let's be reminded of who we are in Christ tonight. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide our study. Lord, I pray that each one of us here would not be one that has forgotten who we are in you, Lord, or has missed out on this concept of what it means to be in Christ. Lord, I pray that there are some here tonight that are not saved and don't have a personal relationship with you. Lord, I pray that they would realize how special this can be. And Father, that they would tonight put their faith and trust in you. Lord, we love you. We need your guidance. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. And so as we examine this thought tonight, the reason, of course, is so that we can understand how better we can be equipped to live this Christian life. All right, so I want us to notice this. If you'd go ahead and those of you who take notes, you can notice that we're going to look at the new you. And this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You've been other places, but I want you to go there because really this is the key verse that we're going to go back to and we're going to reference every time. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Again, the terminology that Paul uses here is that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What is he talking about? Well, he's really talking about the new you, or the new us. According to Paul, you can only be one of two places tonight. Either you are in Christ or you are outside of Christ. To be in Christ means that you have accepted His gift for you and acknowledged His payment for you on the cross. That's what it means to be in Christ. To be out of Christ means that you don't have a personal relationship. In other words, you've never come to an understanding in your heart that you have a sin debt that needs to be paid for. So maybe you're here tonight and you're that latter part there. You're outside of Christ. And I encourage you tonight, put your faith and trust in Jesus. So we notice that if you're listening to this, and most of us in this room can look back to a time when we accepted Jesus as our Savior, let's talk about the new us, because that's what this verse talks about. He says, we're a new creature. So what does this mean? He says, old things are passed away. Well, whatever he's talking about here, and those old things, it's not something that's partial. Okay, it's something that is accomplished. It's a done deal, we could say. It's completed. It doesn't say some things, but it does say all. So according to this verse, there are some things about us that have been made new. So let's think about that. We are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Okay, we're tripartite. Okay, so what part of us, though, has that newness? Okay, we go to the store, we put on some clothes, and we feel like maybe, in a sense, hey, I got brand new clothes on. That's a special feeling. Well, the Lord says that we are new. But what is he talking about? Does that mean when we accept Christ as our Savior, does that mean bodily we've been made new? I mean, did Brother Scott, as an 8-year-old boy, you know, look like a completely different person after I got up from praying the sinner's prayer and asking the Lord to save me? Did I look completely different? Was my face glowing like an angel? It's glowing because it's very pale and white. But that's not the point. The point is, I didn't look like a completely different person. Okay, it's not talking in the sense of bodily. In fact, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21 talks about a bodily change that will take place when we get to heaven. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working wherewith he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So it's talking about heaven, but that's not now. Okay, when Danny got saved, he didn't look like a new Danny. Okay, he looked like Danny. And the same could be said for Caroline or Allison or whoever it is in this room. So it's not talking about a new creature in that I look completely different, bodily speaking. So what about our soul? The body, soul, and spirit. Well, our soul, the idea of our mind, our affections, and our will, has that been made new? Do we have a new will? Okay, do we have our emotions been overhauled? And now we just, you know, we maybe at one point we just... you know, cried a lot, now we don't cry anymore, you know, or we used to get angry and now we never get angry. Is that what it's talking about? No, obviously not, because we have a sin nature, right? When I got saved, I didn't stop sinning, okay? It's not that, well, you know, I never sinned again. No, it's not that at all. So it's not the bodily newness, okay? It's not the soul newness. So what is it? Well, it's the spirit newness that he's talking about. Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. Go there with me. Romans chapter 8. And I want everybody to turn here because this is important. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look at this important truth here. Our spirit is that which is our innermost self and that which has the ability to commune with God. According to Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Bible says the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So this is talking about the spirit aspect of us. Okay, it beareth witness. It communes with God. It's also a reference to the old man or the unregenerate spirit. Okay, so go back to 2 Corinthians and chapter number 5. Look at our verse again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So in our spirit, this is a very important truth. It's speaking of the old man here. We've been given a new spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22, go there. Keep a finger in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 because we're going to be jumping back and forth as we look at it together. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22 says that ye put on concerning the former conversation, the old man, okay, that's that old spirit, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Okay, so number one, before we were saved, the old man had a relationship or a union with the old master, which is sin. The Bible describes in the book of Romans that our old master was sin. And so we were ruled by that old master. And there was a strong connection, a strong union between our old man, our old spirit, and sin itself. And so we have that union there. So before we were saved, the old man had a union, a relationship with the old master, which was sin. But I want you to also understand that in that relationship, sin dominated us. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. These are great theological truths, and we're going to get very practical here in a moment and tell you how this applies to your everyday life. But Romans chapter 6 in verse 14, we learn something very interesting about our spirit, our old man, in connection to sin. Notice what it says in verse 14, Romans chapter 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Paul gives a very important point here, and that is, in our unsaved nature, sin reigned and ruled our lives. So what does that mean? That means we needed intervention. That means we were in a situation where we were in union or in a relationship with something that was harming us and that was dominating us. But Christ destroyed the power of sin. I want you to listen. You don't have to. Actually, you're there. Romans 6 and verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, okay, that old is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So we see that before we were saved, the old man had a union with the old master, sin. We've seen that sin dominated our lives and reigned. We've seen, third of all, that Christ destroyed the power of sin. In other words, that old master, sin, when I got saved, was taken off the throne of my heart. There was a new authority in myself. Boy, I love this. Christ gave me a new spirit. Go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, towards the end of your Bible, right before you get to the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 9. First John 3 and verse 9. Whoso is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed, God's seed, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. What is God telling us here? He gave us a new spirit. Okay, a new spirit that is free, 100% free from sin. And that spirit is the spirit of God that lives and abides in us. And when God the Father looks at us, he sees the righteousness of his Son in us. That is the new part that the Lord gave you whenever you accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. That is the new creature. So, what does that mean? That sounds good, but let's talk about some practical things. On the spirit level of you and me, we are righteous. This means that provision has been made for experiencing victory in the Christian life. It's the new you. It's the real you. That's who you are at your core. You have been declared righteous. And the Spirit of God lives inside of you. And when God the Father views us, he sees righteousness and holiness. And it's through that that we're able to live with him in heaven one day. Boy, what provision the Lord made for every single person in this room who has accepted that gift. We have been declared a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So that's the real you, the new you. But I want you to notice the wrong you. Okay, because this is where we so often live in our minds and live out our Christianity. The wrong you. Let me give you three quick things about some mindsets that sometimes we can have as believers when we don't understand the real us as we should, so to speak. I want you to see some false ideas about who we are. Number one, sometimes we can have the mindset that we're a loser. Okay, in other words, somebody says, you know what, Brother Scott, I have tried to live the Christian life. I know what the Bible says. I know the things that I should do, the things that I shouldn't do. But when it comes to doing the right thing, well, I see myself failing time and time and time again. And sometimes those thoughts can dominate our thinking. You know, when we think about living the Christ life, walking with Him, the first thing that comes to my mind is, well, you know what, I have a hard time doing that. I don't know that I can do that. So sometimes we just have a losing mentality. Sometimes those of you who enjoy following the sports world will find that sometimes there are teams that have a losing culture. How many of you have heard about talking about a winning culture in different places? Okay. That is a real thing. Teams that have not been able to win for a long time. Just get comfortable with that idea that we're probably going to fail again. Sometimes we can think the same way in our Christian life. So sometimes we just claim that identity for ourselves. You know, well, I just keep failing. I'm a loser. Sometimes we think to ourselves, you know what, I can't win. In other words, it's impossible. Brother Scott, you know what, I've tried to get victory over my speech, the things that I say, and you know what, it's just not working. It's impossible. Brother Scott, I have tried to kick that habit, that lustful thought of doing that thing or whatever, and Brother Scott, it is just impossible. You know, sometimes we think those thoughts because we're so far removed from the understanding of who we really are in the Lord. False idea, I'm a loser. Well, I can't win. It's impossible. And sometimes our Christian lives, unfortunately, are defined and dominated by shame and guilt of our past. Understand this, these lies end up perpetuating failure in our Christian life and get us further away from the truth that allows us to walk in victory. We're talking about the new or the real you versus the wrong you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, you don't have to turn there. The Bible says this, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. When we got saved, we became fused with Christ. He became our new leader. He's almighty. His will is perfect, and his power is an endless supply, and love has no limit. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, listen to what it says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. By his spirit, says the Lord. The real us is connected with Jesus and the Spirit of God. We can have false ideas about who we are. Sometimes we can have false ideas about our sin. Have you ever thought about this before? Have you ever thought this? God cannot satisfy me as much as my sin satisfies me. You ever thought about that? Maybe your parents come to you and they say, listen, you can't blow up like that. Okay, no matter how mad you get, you cannot say those things that you said. Maybe you think to yourself, yeah, but well, I feel so much better when I just get it all out there. You know, sometimes maybe in a moment of temptation, we have the thought, well, this is something that I really want, and I just don't think God can satisfy that craving like sin can satisfy that craving. Well, these are things that each one of us has thought at different times in our life, which is really the reason why many times we struggle. We believe things that are, we believe mindsets that are wrong, and then we have false concepts or ideas about sin itself. You know, on the flip side of that, when we allow the Spirit of God to take effect in our heart, boy, that's something that energizes. Boy, that's something to get excited about when we see the Lord, we yield to Him and say, Lord, okay, you know what, I don't have to blow up. I don't have to use that language. Lord, I can yield to your Spirit, and wow, when I do, boy, how energizing is that to our spiritual lives. Sometimes we have false ideas about who we are, false ideas about sin, and then sometimes we have false ideas about God's love. You ever had this thought, God loves me less when I sin, and loves me more when I don't? You ever thought that before? Now, I think humanly speaking, sometimes our love can be that way. Conditional, right? You do something for me, I'm really going to love you. You hurt me, I'm not going to love you anymore. That's a very human thing to do. But God's love is the opposite. God's love is perfect, and it is, get it, unconditional. You know, on your worst day, God loves you perfectly. On your best day, God loves you perfectly. Boy, sometimes we can have false ideas about sin, false ideas about victory, false ideas about God's love. And it's nothing but further from the truth. So I want you to see here a final thought. So we looked at the new real you, and we looked at the wrong you, the wrong way to think, the wrong way to process our Christian living. And I want you to see the response of the real you. Look back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Hopefully you haven't gone far from it. The response of the real you. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So, the newness that we have in us is nothing less than the Spirit of God. And so, as the Spirit of God lives on the throne of our heart, and we are a new creature, recognizing that sin no longer has dominion over me. In other words, sin does not have to call the shots in my life. Now, are there times that I replace the Spirit of God with the old man? Absolutely. And I do that every time I sin. But temptation is not a sin, obviously. It's when we give in to the temptation. And when we get to that point where we give in to the temptation, we've replaced the old man with that new man. Or replaced the new man with the old man. But this is what I want you to understand, is that every person in this room who has accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior has the ability to keep the new man on the throne of your life. He's always there, and he represents God's power, which has destroyed the power of sin. There's a reason Paul said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Why do you say that? Because we don't have to. We once were bound by sin. Christ divided that union and has now given us power to say no. That's the reason why you can live victoriously. Because you have God's power in your life to help you say no to sin. And that power has never failed. We fail it when we try to take over, but God's power, when we try to live through the Spirit of God, boy, that's something that's always victorious. So the real you ought to want what God wants. That's why when we're tempted, there's a part of us that wants to do the right thing. Well, you ever felt that tension before when you've been tempted? And you're like, oh, you're weighing through it in your mind. You're like, ah, this is tough. Boy, there's a part of me, that old man, that just wants to say yes. And there's a part of me The new man, that's the Spirit of God that wants what God wants. Well, the idea is allowing that man to stay on the throne of the heart. The real you wants what God wants. Whether or not we enter, so when it comes, temptation comes, we say, boy, that's not me. That's not who's on the throne. The Spirit of God is on the throne, and because of Him, I can say no. And the Lord can help me to do that. The real you wants Jesus, loves Jesus, adores Jesus. And that is the part of us that should rule our everyday lives. The real you wants to forgive. The real you wants to be closer to the Lord, humanly speaking. And that is the Spirit that we should give way to. The Spirit of Christ living in us. The real you wants what God wants. And when we yield to the Spirit of God, we go from being surprised by victory to being surprised by defeat. Well, you know, I think that if I were to ask the question, how many of you want to live the victorious Christian life in terms that you have victory over sin, you live consistently, you walk with the Lord and keep your eyes on Him, I think that every single person would raise their hand. Okay? Somebody who doesn't want that, I question what's going on there. But I think every single one of us would do that. But the question is, are we willing to choose Jesus over the old master and the reign that he once had in our lives? You know, I think there's a great illustration when it comes to this concept when we look at a caterpillar. You say, now I know that caterpillar is going to be a butterfly, but when I look at the caterpillar, I don't really see a butterfly. You look at the caterpillar, you say, is that a butterfly? Well, yeah, in a sense it is. And I think sometimes when we look at ourselves, we see everything but Christ. And that's who we are. That is the real us. We get so focused on our sin, and I can't, and I failed here, and I failed there, that we need to get back to remembering that we are new creatures, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and we can live that reality every single day as long as we keep the Spirit of God right where He needs to be on the throne of our heart and say no to the old man. You know, there's coming a day when we won't have this battle anymore. You know, for the Christian, this life is as hard as it gets. For the person who's unsaved, this is as good as it gets. But I hope that all of us will take a good look at what the Bible says that we are. And we wouldn't be in that crowd that's not learned it or forgotten, like Paul was talking about. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. Boy, wonderful theological truth that we're talking about here. But theology of the Bible is always given for a practical purpose. This is not meant to be just some theological exercise in our minds to understand how the Spirit of God and God the Father and Jesus Christ Himself come together to redeem man. No, it's much more than that. It's a daily reality. You're not a loser. You're not a failure. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God, and through His power, let's live the Christian life. At our core, we've been declared righteous by God. Heavenly Father, I pray that this reality would fuel our everyday living. And Father, if there's a sin to confess tonight, I pray that we would do that. Lord, if there's unbelief to confess tonight, I pray that we would do that. Lord, if we have been downcast, if our attitude has not been right, Lord, if we have stopped trying, I pray, God, tonight that we would yield to Your Spirit. Lord, realize victory comes through You. Oh, God, thank You for the provision we have because of you. Thank you that we don't have to be shackled to any sin. I pray, God, that you would strengthen us tonight. Your will and way would be done in the invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. As the piano plays, if God's spoken to your heart, the altar's open. I encourage you to come. Don't let sin have dominion. Don't let it rule your life. Say no. You stop trying. It's time to yield. Lord, I'm done with this sin. Lord, you've created me a new creature. I'm embracing that. Maybe you're here tonight. You don't know for sure. You're on your way to heaven. Maybe there's some things you don't understand about the Bible or who Jesus is. There are people who would love to talk to you tonight. Come up to me after the service. If you feel comfortable now, I encourage you to go to the back of the room. A youth worker would be more than happy to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus with you, so that when you leave tonight, you can know you're on your way to heaven. There's nothing like living for Jesus. There's nothing like knowing your sins are paid for and you're on your way to heaven.